Hello and welcome to
2 o'clock with Kella.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Welcome back!
Welcome to season four, part two.
And it is, I know we probably say this every single time, but it's going to be even bigger and better than any of the past series.
Sorry, that really cracked me up because I was just thinking of bigger and better.
Oh, so
yeah.
Hold on, but we've got some really exciting things
We do
for this new year.
Yes.
Episodes, some fun kind of chatty extra brew episodes in there as well. And hopefully some more guests on, and just it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
So
and this first episode is extremely exciting because it's been a long time coming
it
and we're
has.
chatting about guys and dolls. I find it really hard to say it about singing it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Guys only doing it. No, I need to stop. We will be talking about the production that is currently on at the Bridge Theatre.
Yes.
But it's time to bring back what we've been consuming.
It is time to bring back what we've been consuming.
Hey Ella, what have you been consuming this week?
The first book I read this year, and I've also watched the first series of the TV show as well, which was made based on the book, is I read You by Caroline Kemp?
Something
I don't
like
know how
that,
you say
yeah.
her surname. But I found it in a charity shop towards the end of last year and bought it because I'd seen the series and like I quite liked the weird kind of creepy, disturbing vibes, and I thought it would be really interesting to see what the book was like. And it is even kind of creepier and more disturbing because I think when you're watching the TV show, you're obviously in Joe's head and you hear all his kind of thoughts and everything, but there's something even more kind of nerve tingling, whatever, spine tingling about reading from his perspective. And I feel like you just get so much more insight into his brain and this kind of obsessive and compulsive way of thinking about things. It's just, oh, it's so unnerving, and it's crazy to think that someone can write like that and transport themselves into a character like that and come up with a character like that. And like the first line of the acknowledgements is like, thank you to Joe for demanding to be heard or something.
Interesting.
And I was like,
Okay.
that's really interesting. And it just, as well as it being such a kind of, it's like, you know, when you see something really bad and it's like you want to look away, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's how it felt reading it. It was like I just couldn't tear myself away from it. I just kept
Yeah.
picking the book back up. And I can imagine how, well, to an extent, I can imagine how crazy that must have been for her when she was writing it, like having this, the idea of her having this compulsion to write about him and tell this story and come up with this story. And you can see how he thinks he's sane and doing it for logical reasons. And when he references like rom-coms and these big romantic films and things, it almost feels like a bit of a satire on those as well. I don't know, it was just really interesting.
Yeah, it's even worse reading sometimes thrillers than watching them because, yeah, you don't have the visual aspects, but actually, then I think you can elaborate more and if you fill in the blanks a bit more, and so you can make it even creepier for yourself. And I can only imagine how many monologues Joe has in it compared to in the TV show. So I can imagine you
Literally.
just get it all from him. So yeah, I can imagine that being a lot. I really want to read it now. I wasn't sure how good it would be compared to the show, but you're
I'll
selling
send it
it.
to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is weird. It's like a car crash that you want to look away, but you just can't.
Yeah, but also at the same time, it's that whole thing. I think we've said it before on here about weirdly, his logic does make sense. It doesn't make sense
No,
But
but I know what
he
you
manages
mean.
to convince you.
Like, can you tell that he's convinced himself that he's totally right in thinking and the way he's doing, and all of his actions, he's backed them up. He's like, well, I'm doing this because of this. Like, I'm helping her, I'm saving her, I'm doing this because I love her. And I'm just that obsession and that compulsion. And I just find it so interesting. I don't know why. Maybe it's something, I don't
Me
know.
too. I think it's what you said about how it just is a satire of a lot of rom-coms, because a lot of them start out in the same way as Joe. He doesn't
Yeah, like
immediately
that
go to
love at
killing
first sight
people.
thing.
And
Yeah.
then there's all little bits that you do, the whole, oh, I'm gonna look them up on Facebook or that kind
Yeah.
of thing. Like, it's just that Joe takes it to the extreme.
Yeah, to the total extreme. So really, and there's even last point, and then I'll let you stop
No, I love
rambling.
it.
I found it interesting how, in the series they've got the neighbor. Paco and his mum, who's in an abusive relationship with this other guy. That's not in the book,
Oh,
but
okay.
it's in the TV show. And I think that's something that they've added, one, to maybe show a bit more of maybe Joe's humanity because of the way that he treats Paco. But also, I think it's they must use it to, I don't know, almost as a mirror for what Joe was like as a child, in a way, and showing that in the series in a way that is, it's not actually touched on as much in the book, what I can imagine the later books do, but you get kind of little dribbles about his past and his mum, and he does actually go through a couple of chapters which are kind of him flashing back and thinking back to times when he was a child, and I think they've kind of used that Paco character as a mirror in a way in the series, which is interesting. I find the whole
Love it.
adaptation side of it interesting as well. So,
I love, you know me, I love adaptations. Could talk about it all day.
yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to stop rambling now about you, and I'm going to let you give us your what you've been consuming this week.
Hey, Kerry, what have you been consuming this week?
Potentially my first book of the year or my second, can't remember, was The Rachel Incident. I think it was by Caroline O'Donoghue. I could be completely wrong, but I think that's who it was
That
by.
sounds right. That sounds right to me.
Yeah. Or was it Claire? No, I think it's Caroline.
I think Caroline, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's been fairly popular recently. It only came out maybe last year. I really liked it. I gave it 4 stars. And at the heart of it's about friendship and abortion in Ireland, and Rachel narrates it, but it's about her friendship with her best friend and housemate. But I was really interesting because I didn't even realize it was going to be a whole abortion book, but it was just really nice. It was all about relationships, and she has quite a happy ending, probably spoiler. And it was just written in just a really like fresh voice. I feel like that's the cringiest word to use, but it just felt really young just now. And it reminded me a little bit of Beautiful World, Where Are You? It kind of was giving Alice and Felix energy. It was nice. It's one of those books where it's like a little bit political, but it is basically a love story, more of a friendship love story than, because her and her housemate, they both have their own like big loves of their lives and their main relationships in it, but it's mainly the relationship between them two, which I find really cute. I think it's a really good book, although I actually think it's probably better to read it than listen to it. I don't know why, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the voice, but I don't know, I just wanted to read it for myself. I think because there were so many lines I loved and I wanted to be able to highlight them. I was thinking that as well with, because I listened to conversations with friends the other day, just sat down and listened to it all one day while I was working because I was in a mood. Even though I have so many other audiobooks on the go, I was like, yeah, let's listen to that. I hadn't listened to it before and you read it. I really didn't like the audiobook. It
Oh,
made me kind of
interesting.
not like the book.
Cool.
Isn't that weird? Because I've never really thought about it before, because the only books that I've listened to that I've also read were probably the Harry Potter ones. But obviously, you love listening to Stephen Fry. So now I'm like, oh, interesting. Maybe some of the books I've listened to, if I read it, would I have liked it? Because Conversation with Friends is an audiobook. Sometimes litfic, it just does not work listening to it. I can't explain why, but it just doesn't.
I think that's a very good point, the fact that I don't really know why, but I'm totally hopping on this, the fact that litfic maybe doesn't work as well in the audiobook. And I do wonder whether is it something to do with it not being as plot driven, or is there something stylistically inherently different with the litfic that doesn't translate as well to an audiobook? I don't know, but that's really interesting.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think stylistically, do you think of the lines are so much more poetic and pretty in litfic, and I would want to have that visual aspect of them. And then it's weird because they have a more passive voice. It doesn't work as well listening to it. I mean, that's why thrillers are definitely, they're the most popular audiobooks for sure. They always
Yeah,
sell really well.
definitely.
And that makes sense to me because they're really like, that's when you want to hear a character's voice, but in litfic it's not as, I don't know, it's just not as punchy. So you
Yeah,
don't get
no,
the drama of
I
audio. Yeah,
Well.
and then it also sometimes like, if they have a really strong emotive voice for litfic, then it just sounds weird because it just doesn't need that.
Yeah, it needs something a bit more delicate.
Yeah, I
No,
don't.
really, really interesting points there about audiobooks versus, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never really thought about it before because I was like, it's just a book, just listening and whatever. But actually, yeah, I think it does make a difference sometimes.
Definitely.
Right, is it now time for Guys and
I
Dolls?
think it is time for Guys and Dolls. Pull up who directed it and wrote it and
Okay.
stuff.
Well, that's playing at the Roxy. Love it.
You can get tickets up until August. I think it's playing, they're definitely showing it up until August this year at the Bridge Theatre in London. If you can go, go.
Yeah.
It is so good. It is like £39 for a standing immersive ticket, which is definitely the way to see a show, see this show and see a show at the Bridge.
Yes.
It's unlike anything you would have ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, as far as West End tickets go, still obviously £39 is still,
Yeah.
yeah, it is a bit spendy. But if you save up, like that's quite good for like West End prices. So I'd say this is worth it.
Definitely.
This is the one.
Oh
It's in
God.
my top three shows I've ever seen. So,
Yeah, I think it might be as well. It is
oh.
so good.
Okay, well, Arlene Phillips did choreography, which is really fun.
Yes. Okay, directed by Nicholas Heitner. I think that's how you say
Okay.
it. Music by Frank Loesser. Set by Bunny Christie. Same with costumes. I don't even know
Hello.
where to start. Where should we start with this?
Why is it so special? What does it do that other productions don't do?
So much. So much. I think one of the big points is you feel like you were part of the show, which I think is so much fun. And so cool. Like, you don't feel like you're just watching it. It's an experience in the best way possible. And I think that is definitely one of its top standout points. Like, you're constantly being shifted around by the stagehands and the actors, and there's always like a million amazing things to look at that are going on.
And what I love as well is that it's immersive from the moment you step in. As soon as they
Yeah.
open the doors, they have actors selling things. You can actually go and buy a hat off one of the
Yeah.
sellers, and then they have other things that actually aren't for sale. As I found out when I tried to buy a scarf, it was fine. They have people selling pretzels and everything. So as soon as you go in there, you're like, oh my God, we're in the 1950s in New York. And it's so cool.
It does, it feels like you've just been transported right back. And they just kind of pop to Cuba for a moment.
Yeah, let's just fly
Yeah.
over to Havana. Whoa, I love it.
What a moment.
I would say if you're unable to stand for it, then it's still so spectacular to see it
Oh.
sat down, but it's so exciting for it to be immersive. And also, if you're like me and you get anxious about immersive things and like, oh my God, I don't
Yeah.
want to interact, participate, honestly, it's so chill. You're not dragged up on stage to act at all. It's just more so, as you say, the stage is so cool in that it moves around. So the floor will raise up in different points. So there's different configurations of the stage. So the stagehands just ask you to move to allow for certain bits of stage to come up. Or they might give you like a little leaflet, or sparkler thing. Not a sparkler, but like a
But yeah, like a little confetti handheld
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Ash will just dash right past you. So yeah, don't worry, it's not scary interactive at all. It's just
Yeah,
more
it's not
so
like
that they
audience
acknowledge that you're there.
participation.
Yeah.
It's just there happens to be things moving around you.
Yeah. Which is also nice because I hate, say if you go to see something, say when you go to the Globe, I love going to the Globe, but sometimes if you have the standing tickets, oh, well, you'll know what it's like at a concert, just standing there.
Exactly.
So it's actually really nice that when they change the configuration of the stage, that you do get to move to a different part of the room.
Yeah, that is a very good point because otherwise, like, your legs would just go completely dead. I mean, I stood at the Globe for 3 hours for a Romeo and Juliet once, and it isn't fun when you're just stood there in
No.
one spot.
What were some of your favorite immersive elements?
Oh, okay.
When were you getting involved?
I actually, you know how each of you had your moment? I didn't have a moment.
Oh,
Which, but that's
you could have
okay.
at the end, you could have gone and danced.
I don't think you would ever catch me on one of those little dance circle thingies. I'd
Yeah.
shrivel up and be swallowed by the ground instead, I think.
Okay. Yeah. First.
But no, do you know what was a really fun immersive moment that I personally wasn't immersed in was at the beginning
Oh.
of the second act with that guy who was sat on the little table.
Yeah.
That was absolutely hilarious because at the beginning of the second act, they kind of slowly warm you back up to the show before it like properly starts. And they pretend you're in this, is it like a club, would you say, the hot
Yeah.
box? In a club, so they've got some of the ensemble cast doing little songs and the tap dance and whatever. And then you've got Adelaide. She comes on and does a big dance and singing number with all the other girls. And at this point, you had some audience members who were sat on the little tables still from the intervals. And she goes and she involves one of the audience members in her little dancing, which I guess is a moment of audience participation, but
Yeah.
it's always just absolutely hilarious, the look on his face when he's practically getting a lap dance from
Yeah.
her.
Wow. But I love also when all the other girls are dancing with Adelaide and they're probably making eyes at you.
No, they do because the actors and the audience are in such close proximity with each
Yeah.
other, they're always kind of like looking out at you and kind of involving you, and it's just, I don't know, it's just so cool to be that close and just feel part of it and like you're actually there because you are actually there.
Yeah, and they're actually flinging their clothes at you. I had that the first time I went, and I think I had some pearls thrown at me.
Oh,
Yeah, and then I had to give them back. You have to give everything back, which is
yeah.
fine. We understand budgets.
Well, you had your moment when you caught Nathan's handkerchief.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Nathan chucked his handkerchief at me. I caught
And
it. I didn't fumble. I always fumble, but I didn't this time.
it was so graceful the way that she caught this handkerchief and then just kind of
Yeah.
held it. So
Yeah, you
graceful.
know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I always wanted to get a little leaflet though when Sarah's going
Oh, yeah.
around with her Follow the Fold missionary people. Oh, a little leaflet. George got one last time. Ella got one this time,
Ella
didn't
got one
she?
this time, yeah.
I just realised we've not even done a little plot summary. What if people don't even know what Guys and Dolls
Oh,
about?
my days.
Oh
Okay.
my God, well,
Well,
you know, it's fine. We've set the scene of how cool it is. We'll
we
leave
set
it now.
the scene.
We've done the
Would you like
format.
to?
We'll do the content now.
Content, let's go.
So,
Okay, carry.
yeah, because what I just think, even if you don't like musicals or you don't like Guys and Dolls, it's just the coolest format. Why would you not want to go to a show like that? Like, there's just no
Exactly.
show like it, is there?
Yeah, no, I
Well, apart from
100%.
other ones at the Bridge do, because they always do cool things like that, but.
Yeah, but no, I 100% agree because I went into this not really, I didn't know the story. I knew of Guys and Dolls. I'd seen a few clips from the 60s, 70s
I think
film.
it was 1953,
Oh, wait, oh, the film
potentially.
was in the 50s. Okay. I thought it was in
Yeah.
the 60s.
Or
So I did a few
55,
clips from the
anyway.
film, heard a few of the songs, whatever, but I didn't know the plot. I didn't know the story, but absolutely loved it. Anyway, I'm gonna let you tell us about
Okay.
the story, if that's okay.
Of course.
Let's summarize.
It's about two couples, their relationships, lots about gambling, sinning in New York, but it's the two love stories essentially. So you have Nathan and Adelaide are one couple, and then Skye and Sarah the other couple. With Nathan and Adelaide, their plot line is that she just wants to get married to him, and they've been together for 14 years, and he just won't get married to her. Typical. So, I mean, surprise, surprise, they do actually get married at the end. Oh my God, spoiler, I can't believe it. But all that, she's really cool. She sings at the Hot Box at the local nightclub. She does some really cool numbers. Meanwhile, Nathan's running around trying to set up a floating crap game. The longest established permanent
Permanent,
floating
yeah.
crap game in New York. Yeah. Where's the action? Anyway, so I'll get carried away. I love the songs in this.
So good.
Yeah, and he's promised Adelaide, oh, no more gambling, but no, he's got to set up a game because they've got Big Julie is in town, big gangster guy, and he wants to shoot some crap. So there's that half of the show. The other half with Skye and Sarah. Sarah works for the mission, the Christian people, and she is very aware that the branch doesn't have a lot of people that it's helping. And then Skye turns up on a bet with Nathan that he can't take Sarah to Havana for a night, because Nathan's doing the bet because he's like, I need money to be able to afford somewhere to do the game.
And Sky's a bit of a gambler as well, and
Yeah, and he's
do
known as a
quite
big
well in all these
gambler.
bets.
Yeah. So he does manage to convince her, and he's like, I'll bring you people to your meetings, it's fine. So, yeah, anyway, they manage to go to Havana. Then he actually falls in love with her in Havana. So cute. They have the sweetest time. And then after she gets a bit annoyed with him, but it's fine. He manages to gamble and win for 12 people, 12, was it a dozen genuine
Yeah.
sinners to go
Sinners.
to the meeting to sing Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat? And then she realizes, she's like, oh my God, that's actually really cute. And then they get married as well.
They
It's
do.
so cute and lovey dovey. And has some cracking songs, like the songs that are most well known from it is Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat, probably just Guys and Dolls,
Yeah.
and
And maybe Luck Be a
Luck
Lady.
Be a Lady. Oh, and Luck Be a Lady is playing. Oh, the choreo in that slapped so hard.
My God, the choreography in this entire show, it's just the best form of dancing on stage ever. That sort of,
Incredible.
I don't even know what you call that style, but it's there's just something about it. I described it to Ella as the Newsies style. If any of you have seen Newsies, and the way they dance in that is the way they dance in this. I mean, alongside all the Hot Box stuff, which is less of that, but oh my God, so good. The choreography is insane.
Yeah, it's that basically it's leapy. You could
Leapy,
tell we're not
yes,
dancers, but it's just like they've got springs built into their feet. It's incredible.
oh wow, it's just insane.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They're all
Like,
so talented.
yeah. Wow. And I love they're doing, I don't know if it was salsa or not, but when they're dancing, when they're in Cuba,
Yeah.
that is incredible. That is
That
so
entire
good.
like Cuba section, just I was not expecting it, and it was just everything you could ever want from something like that and more.
It was
And you're
really
literally
good.
like swept off your feet in that moment watching them.
It's
And
like you're at some kind of festival when you're
it is,
at
it's
that
like
bit.
you want to start joining in as
It's
well.
yeah, it's so good when you
Like
dance.
you're
I
kind
mean,
of
at the
pulled
end,
into
yeah, at the end you do get to dance, which is really nice. Like they lower the stage and everyone's all together
Yeah.
dancing. So it is just such a celebration. One of the things I
It is.
love about Guys and Dolls is also if you don't, if you can't make it down to London to go see it, I love the film version with Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra. And sorry, I don't know what the actress is called, but I love that. To so recommend that anyway. It's just a whole load of fun.
It
It's
is.
really fun. It's so uplifting. There aren't really any lows in it. And I know that, not everything in life is always happy. And it's nice when you have certain shows or books, whatever, that acknowledge that. But if you just want to feel a good time, this is the best ever. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of describing it because, yeah, they mention the lows, but they turn it into comedy or they kind of swiftly move on to it into they kind of pick it up quite quickly in a logical way that makes sense. It's not like they're just kind of brushing it under the covers. Like they're able to figure things out and get over things and just ultimately have the best time ever.
Yeah, exactly. All the songs are such storytelling songs, which I
Yes.
know you might be. I guess for musicals, that is quite typical. But even say with like, if you think of the songs in Grease, where maybe you talk about You're the One I Want,
Yeah.
and they're just like, oh, I've got chills. Like, you look so good, all this kind of stuff. Like, it all fits the vibe, but I just mean that in Guys and Dolls, it's even more like it's jam packed with a whole story in it. Like, in the opening number, actually, no, sorry, it's not. It's the opening number for the film, but it's about halfway through the show, and it's in Guys and Dolls. And I love it. It opens with, like, what's playing at the Roxy? Taylor's playing at the Roxy. And it goes through different things there, like when guys are whipped, what they do with their dolls. It is really fun.
Oh, it
I love
is so
it.
good.
All the songs, beautiful. They don't do, it's really nice as well, because if you're more familiar with the film version, Woman in Love. That's in the film, and I love that song, Your Eyes Are the Eyes of a Woman in Love. But instead, they have like a whole other little love song going on between Skye and Sarah, and it's really, really cute. And it's just wholesome vibes, isn't it?
No, it really is. You can't not be smiling as you watch it.
Yeah.
Like it just brings so much joy and there's so many sweet moments and funny moments. And I think just the higher feel of it all and the experience of it, you can't help but just be so sucked in and kind of you just give yourself over to the experience of being there. Those
Yeah.
like 2.5 hours, and
Yeah.
it's like the best thing ever. Like, I did not see anyone in the audience at any point without a smile on their face, looking like they were
Yeah.
having a fantastic time.
So good at keeping your attention.
Yeah, and it's quite fast paced, and there's always a
Yeah.
lot going on. And yeah, like you're just so intent on it and keeps your attention throughout.
Yeah. And they really used the space to move across the whole floor, the whole stage.
Yeah, so that
And
no matter where you're stood, you're seeing everything, you're feeling
yeah.
so part of it. Like,
And because it's all raised, you're all good. You can definitely see it
yeah,
from where you
exactly.
are.
One of those that as soon as it finished, I was like, okay, I'd see that again right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you get those things. I'm sure everyone's had them when either like you finish watching a film or seeing a show or reading something. It's like, okay, just press play again, just start
Yeah.
it again. Because it's just so infectious.
Yeah, and I guess because if you do go see it again and you can see different things, you have different experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it depends where you're stood and they might have a bit like they'll say things like, oh, I like your shirt, someone in the audience. You know, it's
Yeah.
always like a little bit different each time, so
Yeah. And I feel like in a show, in this format, I feel like you see those differences and feel those differences more than a more traditional stage show, where it feels more kind of solid and the same.
And you know, this is the perfect musical to do an immersive show with because they are in the club, like Adelaide singing her songs in a club. And it's the exact same as when we went to watch Moulin Rouge. Well, Moulin Rouge isn't immersive, but in that it was even better for me than the film because it's set in a club, so it's better to be in a more intimate setting. And with Guys and Dolls, like it's all that intimacy of like they shouldn't be gambling and it's always secret. So it's like you're all in a big secret being in this one room. So it's just the perfect show to have that immersive element with.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And I'm just absolutely stunned by the entire creative team coming up with all this. There are so many elements to think about and to come up with, and I'm like forever in awe of people who have these ideas and can put them into place and have it become such a popular show. Like, I'm sure none of them thought that it would be as popular as it is. Like, they've just kept extending and extending the run because people are just loving it. And you can so tell why. You've seen it twice already, and it's not
I mean,
often that you see the same show in London twice within like a year,
no,
is it?
hey, this set design is just so gorgeous. It's like you're in God's own junkyard. Is incredible. I love it. And the song Swan, the singing is incredible. We have to say we're not really
Oh no, we haven't really mentioned
specifically, you know, named
any of
any of
the
the actors,
actors.
but it's because all the central characters and the ensemble, every actor was just phenomenal in it. Super strong dancing, singing, all of them just incredible. We can't single any one of them out. And I have to say, like, I saw different casts. Well, it wasn't massive changes, but yeah, I saw different actors and both shows just incredible. So whenever you go and see it, you're guaranteed to have the best time. Like, the singing is so beautiful.
God, so good. Like you say, you can't pinpoint any one specific person because they're just all amazing. It's almost as if, you know, when people give like acceptance speeches and they're mentioning name after name after name because just every single person involved in this is so talented and so amazing. And it's all of them all coming together in this moment that is part of what just makes it such an amazing show.
Like, even I'm obsessed with the wardrobe in it.
My God, the costumes.
Oh, I want to wear those outfits.
And the amount of changes that the entire female
Oh my
ensemble
God, I
goes
know.
through. Like,
Wig changes
the
alone.
wig. And I mean, when you're that close to the audience as well, like, and when you're dancing in the way that they're dancing, like, your wig's got to be intact. And it's amazing. Like, it's one of those things that I was noticing. I was like, wow, those wigs are immaculate considering 2 minutes ago they had a completely different outfit on, a completely different wig. It's impressive. Oh, it's just so good.
I saw actually, if you go on the Bridge Theatre socials, they had a video of Marsha Wallace doing a quick change, and it was really incredible. I was like, how do you put a wig on that quick?
It's insane. Yeah, definitely look at the social media pages for little clips and photos and whatever, and you can get a feel for how the stage works and the immer oh, it's just top notch.
And the whole thing is really funny, and it's
Yeah,
nice in that
hilarious.
it's funny without it having to be really puerile or anything. It's just straight up, it's something that everyone could enjoy, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I was thinking as well about this. Do you think nowadays actors, like, do they just go around talking in their New York accent, like
Possibly.
outside of the show? Like, I can't imagine having to do a New York accent for that long. And I mean, obviously, I'm not from New York, but the accent sounded pretty good to me. Or like Chicago accent.
No, I know what you mean because I guess when you're so in it like that, I reckon there is that period maybe in the interval and like kind of afterwards where it's maybe could be hard to kind of snap out of that.
Yeah.
Or maybe the voice is just something that I guess it depends from person to person, but you always hear when you listen to interviews with actors and things, and they've got like phrases in their character's dialect that they'll use to kind of get them into character and then kind of jump themselves back out again. I wonder whether for some of them in this it's a similar thing, and that's kind of how they distinguish between
Yeah.
the play and their lives. Or maybe some of them do just kind of wander around London with their New York accents. Like, that would be quite fun and entertaining. If
Yeah.
I could do a New York accent, I'd do
I
that if you.
know. Well, I was just thinking about the whole Austin Butler, him doing his
Yeah, him with his Elvis moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So also that reminded me when you spoke about the interval. Even the interval was so cool. The MC
Yeah.
comes out and then little band comes out, people from the ensemble, and they're singing really cool jukeboxy versions of some of the songs from the show. And one of the guys does a really incredible tap routine.
So good.
It just never
Absolutely.
stops. They've just done every single thing. They've thrown everything at the show.
Yeah, they really, really have.
Yeah.
And you're just lit, like you say, from the moment you step in the doors to the moment you leave, you are just so immersed and so part of it. And even when you're in the kind of foyer section of the theatre, all the kind of vendors and things that they've got there, they're all kind of New York-y themed kind of snacks and drinks and whatever. So it's just, oh,
Isn't it so pretty when you first walk in?
so pretty with all the lights dangling from the
The
ceiling and the
lantern-y
beautiful
things,
guys and
yeah.
girls sign. We'll definitely attach some, like a photo or whatever, to the
Yeah.
Instagram of this podcast episode so that you can see. But just
Yeah.
Google and you'll see them all. It's incredible.
Yeah. Can we quick for our fave moments?
Okay, quick five fave moments. Go, you start.
Okay. I just really, really, really love, this is really specific, but in Luck Be a Lady, when Sky, he goes off apart from the actors on the stage, and he's just in that, like, imagine someone crouched down ready to roll a dice, and
Yeah.
he's, it looks like a sculpture,
He does.
dancing it, and just the drama of that song. And that is when also all the other gamblers do one of their newsy style dances.
Yeah.
And who knew gambling could be so exciting? Well, a lot of people who gamble, but I don't, that's not for me.
Yeah.
That entire number, like, I know that's like the most famous song in the show.
But
Well,
that entire
probably,
number is
but
incredible.
Sky, it's sounding just like Frank Sinatra as well. I mean, not that Frank sang that in
No,
the
but I know what
film,
you mean. He's got
but
that crooner voice.
yeah, he sang it a lot better than Marlon Brando, let's be real. Anyway, I love him though.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of my faves.
That was so good. That was so good. I thought of a moment then, and then it disappeared from my brain. Oh, I've got to give a heads up to Mr. Conductor. I love that man. I don't know why, but there was just something about his vibe, and he looked so happy and he was having the best kind of time because there's kind of balcony seating if you're sat down, and on one of the sides, you've got literally a box lit up with neon lights where you've got the entire orchestra stood there with the conductor there as well. So they're kind of part of it as well, which I always love because I always feel a little bit sad when the orchestra gets put away underneath the stage in the pit. So it's nice to kind of see them there and have them recognized in that way. But there's a moment in Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat where they do a couple of encores, and Mr. Conductor gets to have his little moment interacting with the audience and the actors. And there's just something about seeing people like loving what they're doing that just makes it
Yeah.
even more like joyful watching him kind of turn around and look at everyone, and there's the entire audience kind of clapping and cheering, wanting the song to carry on. And yeah, it was so good. And just that entire Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat number,
Yeah.
because you have every single person on the stage
Apart from the
Which
sky, love of
isn't
my life, but it's fine.
there. Oh, sorry, he's not there, and also the police guy isn't there. But all the others are there, and everything about that is just immaculate and so much fun. And you can tell that they're loving it, exhausted, but loving it.
God, yeah, all that
You can
sitting up and
see
sitting
this, like,
down,
you're so
standing
close
up,
to them.
even.
Exactly, you can see the sweat dripping off them as they're sat there.
Yeah, oof, effort that
But
is.
so good, so good.
Yeah.
That's a good
Ooh.
moment, fave moment.
So good. I reckon we have time for one more each.
Okay.
That's quite nice, a top four from us.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I will go for when they're singing If I Were a Bell. I
Yes.
love that song so much. I'm pretty sure it was in that number when Sarah was like, he's having to be propped up by Skye against a lamppost, and
Yeah.
then he's just holding her up, carrying her as she's just
She's
swinging
literally just like a rag doll at that
yeah,
moment.
side to side. That is so good. I don't really have much more to say about it. I just think that she performed that so well, swinging around all the lampposts,
So beautiful.
and the chemistry between them sizzling.
Chemistry
No
is
more, like,
top notch.
I love the, Adelaide and Nathan.
Yeah, they had great chemistry as
Yeah,
well.
perfect couple, but there's something about a blossoming, burgeoning
Yeah.
relationship. Well, I'm like,
And you
yes.
can see that, like, you've got the two of them who they're both kind of uncertain and unsure and not really willing to let
Yeah.
themselves fall as such, and they're kind of struck unawares by it. Like, you can almost see that moment on his face when he realizes, oh, I've fallen. And you can kind of tell with her as well, even though hers, I think, is maybe a bit later when she's not as drunk anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just so sweet. And I mean, we're hopeless romantics, so of course we're going to absolutely
Yeah.
adore that moment.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what are you rounding off the top
I'm
four
going to
with?
round off mine with a really fun song that is also a great moment of girl power, which I also feel like is a great way to end this.
Your power.
Is at the end when you've got Adelaide and Sarah in the bar and they're singing Marry the Man Today. There was something
Yeah.
about that song and that moment between the two of them, because I think that is the first, maybe one of the only proper moments where the two of them are kind of in dialogue with each other, sharing the stage with each other and just them, because they're quite separated for a lot of
Yeah.
the play.
Yeah, that's true.
Yet the men have a lot more to do with each other, obviously, with the gambling and everything.
Yeah.
There is just something about them taking on that power and deciding for themselves what they wanted, and there is kind of like a grittiness to the way that they sing that song as well, and the kind of
Yeah, true.
combination of notes used. I'm sure there's some special musical term for it, but I just really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was really fun.
That was a good moment to end on.
Yeah.
So, in summary, search up Guys and Dolls at the Bridge and
Yes.
go and watch it.
Do.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You will not regret it.
No, not at all.
Amazing.
I was going to do jazz hands and then I was too tired, so I was
Yeah, so
doing
you were just
jazz
like one
fingers.
jazz fingers. We will take that. Do we have a blonde moment for this week?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Blum moment.
Do do.
I bet you can guess what our blonde moment is this week. This week, obviously, it's been the Golden Globes. We just had two, didn't we?
We
We
have
had.
to. I mean, I would expect nothing less from us.
Yeah. So, the best supporting actress in a TV show was won by Elizabeth Debicki for The Crown, and she did a fabulous job as well in that.
Yes.
But you know what else? I love that category because we had Meryl Streep and Hannah Waddingham and Abby Elliott and J. Smith Cameron, all blondes, and Christina Ricci, who's also iconic.
Yep.
Look at all these strong women
Oh, it's so
in
good to see.
doing the most.
Yep.
I mean, also, yeah, I only watched half of the first episode of series 5 of The Crown. Well, I've seen that before series. And from that fraction that I saw, I was like, wow, she has embodied Diana. So incredible work from her. And she was really good in Tenet. You should check out our Tenet episode as well, guys.
Yes, definitely do. I enjoy that little plug. But yeah, so good. I love the fact that award season is upon us again. I love
I'm
award
so excited.
season.
You know we love award season. Love
Yeah,
it.
it's so good.
Yeah. And because I
And yeah,
forgot
don't.
it was even happening because I was like, I knew it was January is when it all starts, but then you forget with Christmas and all of a sudden I was like, hang on, it's Golden Globes tonight.
Literally, and because there was that weird year where the Golden Globes didn't happen,
Yeah, exactly.
but so good, and there were so many worthy winners, I feel, at this year's Golden Globes.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so fun with Golden Globes because they split it out into more categories. So,
Yeah, so I feel like you get more recognition across the board for everyone.
yeah.
And they had a new award. I can't remember exactly what it was
The
called,
Box
but it
Office
was
Success Award.
that one, which I think is a really good award because it kind of recognizes the audiences and the people who go to see the films, as well as the films that do
Yeah.
really well in the public. Because if people weren't to ever watch these films, then there wouldn't be these categories,
Yeah.
awards, and whatever. So,
Yeah, because Barbie didn't really get that many awards. And I was surprised
no,
because if
it
you
kind
listen to
of
our
gets
Barbie
snubbed.
episode, you know that we loved it. So.
Yeah, so I'm glad that it got its
Yeah.
moment. Because
Yeah.
it deserves it. It's such a good film. I mean, listen to our Barbie episode and you'll find out why we love
Love that.
it.
Ella, what are we next back with?
Oh, this is very exciting. We're next back with a after our extra brew, we're starting a little mini series in the series called, well, the working title, probably the final title, the story of the novel Without Men. So it's going to be going back to our literary roots and all the fun stuff that we just absolutely adore as English students.
Yeah.
So we're going to be throwing it way back to like 16th, 17th century, potentially even a bit earlier as well, like ancient
Say
Greek
what?
vibes. Don't be discouraged. It's going to be very listenable and fun, and we'll explain the premise of everything next week or week after next.
Yeah, I'm well
Excited
excited
to
for
hear
it.
that. Going to basically be just highlighting the amazing things that women have done and written, and
Yeah.
hopefully opening up your minds and your worlds to more amazing literature.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my bad sales pitch that I
I
did not
love that. I want to listen to
Anyways, thanks for listening.
it. Yeah, thank you. We'll see you next time for that.
See you next time for that, and I hope you're all having a good new year.
Thanks for listening to Tea O'Clock with Keller.
Join us next time for more.